This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we have reached midweek. It is hump day. Always sounds kind of gross. Do you like your camels with one hump or two humps?
Well, I like my weeks with just one because, gosh, yeah. I struggle to remember what day of the week it is more often than not.
Honestly, I have to write it at the top of my show notes. Mm-hmm. It's Wednesday, so I don't forget. Well, we have a busy show today, so we're going to jump right in. Joining us in the third chair today from Powerland Heritage Park, Michelle is here to talk about some volunteer opportunities. Michelle, welcome to the show. And I know your last name, and I never want to do that. Michelle, what's your last name?
It's Duchateau.
That's beautiful, and I did not want to mangle it.
Thank you. I'd be called all variations. So.
It's a beautiful name. It's a lovely name. So we want to welcome you. We haven't had you on before, so it's nice to see you.
Thank you.
And we wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about, there's an event. You've got a volunteer happening this weekend, so tell us about that.
So this weekend, we have our very first volunteer fair. For 2025, we were voted in the Mid-Willamette Valley best place to volunteer. So we're thinking we want to let everybody know why people love to come out and volunteer. So this Saturday, we're having a fair from 10 to 2 out at Powerland Heritage Park. And all 14 museums will be available and open. We'll have representatives. We'll start down at the Car and Motorcycle Museum. And then you can tour all of the museums in the park. So we are 14 not-for-profit museums all in one location. So
I wonder, I don't know that it's a hidden gem. I know our listeners are familiar with it, but a lot of people may not know that there are 14 museums out there. I know you said the Car Art Museum. What are some other ones?
It's Branch 15, which is engines. It's Edgeta, Branch 15. We have Antique Implement Society, which is great big engines. It's followed a lot on YouTube because one of the most popular ones is this fellow.
Because it's cool. It's just cool.
It's cool. We have Oregon Vintage Machinery, which is John Deere. We have Caterpillar Museum, which is our show, a feature of our Great Oregon Steam Up this year. So caterpillars will be the focus. We have trains. So we have, I don't know what scale it is, sorry, but you can ride on it around as a mini train. We have the HO. Scale train in another museum. And then we have the trolleys that is similar to the one run up in Lake Oswego and the whole bit. So they run a trolley around the park and car and motorcycle and a logging museum. We have a steam-powered sawmill. We have a steam-powered crane that they've used on the railroads and to move logs and all of that.
So old technology that, I mean, we just don't see anymore. Everything's really mechanized and really shiny and really fancy. And these are kind of the old ways.
Yes. So our purpose is to show the public where we got to, where we came from and to how we got to where we are today with all the mechanical things and, you know,
Computers, everything computerized.
We have steam engines, we have stationary engines, we have, you know, gas, we have diesel, we have steam and everything. So it's a great opportunity to learn. We have a lot of families who come and grandmas and grandpas are there with their grandchildren and even great-grandchildren and great-grandparents. So come out to show them what it was like and what life was like back then. So
Which is cool because we're kind of losing the old ways. I mean, even something down as, I have a hole in my sock. Well, I better throw it away.
Yeah.
We used to fix things. We used to mend them. We used to darn them.
Yeah.
I actually do know how to darn a sock.
Oh, there you go.
I do know how to do that.
I do it on my sewing machine. So there you go.
So you talk about parents and grandparents. You guys have been around for, 56 years?
It's our 56th year for a Great Oregon Steam Up. We've been there for a little longer than that. And the whole bit. So it's growing. We have a youth program coming up. We've called it Steamed Up for Kids, where it's all children oriented, so that we have pretty much about 14 hands-on activities that they can do, like making rope. They make their own ice cream where they have to literally measure everything and then shake it, or they get to drink milk. So
right, exactly.
If they don't want to shake it, they don't get ice cream.
And you don't put the work in, you don't get the treat.
Exactly. So that's on May 16th, and that will be our 6th year, and we are growing with that. We have so many children. We laughingly say our measure of success is how many cries out of, I'm not ready to go. Put me down. I'm not going.
That's a good metric. Yeah, I bet it's a lot, too.
We like it, yeah. We hear it a lot. And
so you mentioned, Michelle, that you were voted like the number one place to volunteer.
Yes.
What makes you guys the number one place to volunteer?
You know, it's just a very collegial colleague. We're friends, right? And we all have this passion, or the passion grows, or... And so you want to be there. You want to have the tagline, like that big park down in California says, the happiest place on earth, you know. and so we all work together. We all work to make Powerland a great place. We don't act like we're 14 separate museums. Mm-hmm. And we interrelate, and, you know, we have activities where all of the museums are involved. And so if you like green tractors, there's a place for you. If you like yellow tractors, there's a place for you. You know, color is no fence or anything.
So I'm assuming, because you've been around a long time and you are such a popular place to volunteer, do you have people coming back year after year?
We do, but we can always use more. Our events are getting bigger and more. We need more help, basically, is what it is. Like all nonprofits, you know, we work on a great budget, and we depend on our volunteers to help out. So any new blood, if you will, is greatly appreciated. And we just make it fun. You know, we hold monthly work days at the park to help us get ready for all the events. We need help at the events. And we've gone from basically 5-6 events a year to it's busy from May till September. And now, even in October and December, because we do a holiday light show.
Right. Yeah. Well, so Hunter, I know that we partner up with for Half Price Oregon as well.
Yep. Yes. So we currently have some half price admissions for the Steamed Up for Kids event coming up in mid-May. And as we get closer, we will have half price admissions for the Great Oregon Steam Up available on halfpriceoregon.com.
Yeah.
So definitely a place to go and get those tickets. And like you said, fun events.
Right.
One a little more catered for the children. The other one, children are more than welcome at the Steam Up itself. So,
well, at Steam Up, we have a program for the youth. It's called Youth Passport, where they visit all the museums and some of our other vendors that come. And they answer questions about that museum. And then they get a pin and they get a lanyard with all these pins on it, and they get a medallion at the end, and they get to put their name in for a drawing for a prize and all of this. So we really encourage the youth to attend, because that's where the future is, right? We want to keep this going, and in order to do that, we need people, we need bodies, and so we need to interest them instead of on your laptop or phones.
You know, it's so funny. I'm watching you doing the universal signal of the thumb thing. We all know what you mean when you do that. It's like you need to get off your phone. You need to go out there, touch grass, touch these machines. Yeah. Real quick, if people, before we let you go, people are hearing this. What should they plan for that day?
On the 10th, just show up with an open mind and just inquisitiveness. We'll all be there. All the museums will have representatives to answer questions and to do their pitch to get you to come see who they are and what they do and what is there for them to enjoy. So
And that's this Saturday.
This Saturday,
the
11th,
okay.
From 10 to 2 at Powerland Heritage Park.
Okay, and then the website, real quick, do you know that off the top of your head? Do your thumbs thing so it'll help you remember.
Yeah. It's powerlandheritagepark.com.
Okay, and again, we will put that in show notes if you're driving
Thank
or whatever.
You.
We don't have to worry about that.
Awesome.
Well, Michelle, what a pleasure.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
This is just the first time that you're joining us. And we love to promote, and we love partnering with Heritage, Powerland Heritage Park.
Right.
So best
Thank
of
you.
Luck this weekend. I hope
Thank
you get a swarm of people that you have so many you don't
we
know what
hope
to do
so.
With.
We hope so. We can only you know, have that happen. Thank you so much for your time.
You are so welcome. Right. You're so welcome.
Have a great
All right,
day.
We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and the Perlin Mill.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. And again, if you missed anything that Michelle was talking about, websites, anything like that, that will all be up in show notes, which producer Dave usually has up very quickly these days, pretty much within about less than an hour of when we wrap up the show.
There you go. And of course, if you are interested in attending the Steamed Up for Kids, those tickets are on sale at halfpriceoregon.com right now. And if you're looking at the Great Oregon Steam Up, we'll have those for sale as we get a little bit closer.
You know, and just to talk about Half Price Oregon real quick, because we don't talk about that enough, that is an awesome place. I mean, I've gotten coupons out there. You can get a lot of restaurant coupons out there, a lot of our partners. Who's up there right now, just out of curiosity?
Cheers is up there. We've got Cheers. We've got Adam's Rib. We've got Bowen Vine and Cozy's.
Ooh.
I think we're just about out of Turner Pizza and Tap House down there. We've also got the Inferno out in in Independence.
Yeah.
So there's some goodies out there. And, you know, the one thing is we are seeing them sell out. So if they're not there today, keep looking back and because they can get back on there.
Yeah. And you're the guy to talk to because, you know, you're the Half Price Oregon guy. So
that's right.
I always, you know, hey, Hunter, what's out there? So, yeah, definitely check that out. Again, I will link that up in there and in show notes as well. But you can also, there's a link to that right on our KYKN.homepage, and it's right there at the top on the right hand side of the website. Okay. All right. Yesterday we talked about Mayor Keith Wilson in Portland had his little cup out. Alms for the poor in Portland. We can't afford anything anymore. We've blown all our money on whatever we've blown it all on, and it's not working. In Clackamas County and Washington County, we need your help.
Well, I'm assuming that the problem is that there's enough people at every street corner now with those cups out that the money's not quite the same for Mayor Keith any longer.
It isn't. Mm-hmm. In fact, Clackamas County and Washington County said, yeah, nah, we're good.
Well, yeah, we've got our own homeless problems that we have to deal with. And you've driven yourself into the ground on this one, and they're not going to bail you out anymore.
Nope. KATU is reporting. A bunch of sites are reporting this. I saw this all over X. Clackamas County leaders have decided not to give. I think Clackamas County Commissioner Ben West even tweeted about that, going, yeah, we're not doing that. The mayor of Beaverton was like, no. And then on Tuesday, Washington County, they had met and they said, no, they're not doing that. Commissioner West made it clear that he opposed the request, citing a lack of trust in Portland city leadership. Yeah.
Well, I just sit here and I go, okay, let's look at it this way. One, these weren't small dollar amounts. These were $5-6 million, bailouts. But I'm sitting there going, I don't think they would have handed over $10,000 at this point, because once Multnomah County has lost and the city of Portland has lost, the uber liberal Washington and Clackamas counties around them, you sit there and go, yeah, maybe your direction. When you don't trust the city council at your neighboring community, I'm kind of going, yeah, I don't know if you're on the right track at that point.
Yeah. There's some issues. I guess Ben West chatted with KATU. He's saying, quote, we need more recovery-oriented systems of care, not just throwing money at shelters. And that seems to be sort of the standard operating procedures in Oregon, Washington, California. Just throw money at everything and feel good about yourself, pat yourself on the back publicly, have a ribbon cutting at a tiny house compound and call it good. And it's just not.
Well, and I just sit here and go, it seems like every day or two we're getting a new story about a portion of funds that our bureaucracies have been handed over to distribute to help with things like the homelessness that just seems to have evaporated and hasn't reached the people that, you know, we're told it's there to help.
Exactly. There's a poll on the KATU site as well. Here are the questions. See if you can guess what's getting the most. How much trust do you have in Portland city leaders to solve the homeless crisis? I trust them fully. Some trust, but I have concerns. I don't trust them at all. Portland's problems don't impact me. What do you think the most percentage of answers? What do you think?
Uh, Sadly, I think it's Portland's problems don't impact me.
No, it's I don't trust them at all at 93%.
Okay, well, that's good because I'm just sitting going, but I would go, why would you even put that on there? Because Portland's problems leak out into every community
exactly
in this state.
Exactly right. And that's why I think that answer is only 3%, because that obviously you see it's leaking out. It's leaking into the suburbs. The same problems, there's a lot of them down in Salem, in the Salem area. They are starting to spread out from the downtown area. Dallas, I mean, we've had conversations with folks over in Dallas that there are problems. And unfortunately, a lot of times I know back in the day, 10 years ago, having, you know, chats with police officers saying, oh, yeah, they have proof. Portland is putting these people on buses and sending them down because Salem has more services for you. Salem has more free stuff. Off you go to Salem, and then they show up in Salem, and they don't leave. And, of course, we've had lots of issues at different shelters and things like that. We talked on Monday. Was that Monday? Yeah. Mm-hmm. With Craig Smith from the UGM. They don't have that, but there was that incident in the – was it in the parking – that was Arches or UGM? I don't remember which
Arches,
one.
I think it was –
yeah, where there was the stabbing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are issues, and this stuff creeps out from the city centers.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you can even take it beyond that. Oregon as a whole, in their encouragement of, you know, free drugs and free everything in the state of Oregon, I mean, we know that there's, you know, communities across this country that will take a homeless problem, they'll put it on a bus and say, hey, head on over to Oregon. They'll take really good care of you there. So they end up getting dropped off in Portland, and then Portland ships them out to the rest of the state. So I'm going, yeah, it's definitely Portland's problems are definitely Oregon's problems.
Do you know? You know? Did you notice that the mayors of Seattle and the mayor of Portland have the same initials? Do you think there's? Mm-hmm. I think that's a coincidence. Is it Katie Wilson?
Katie Wilson and
Keith Wilson.
So they have the same last name, even.
Wow.
I think from my understanding is Keith kind of has done enough to take care of himself financially, where Katie has had that struggle throughout her life.
Katie's still got mom and dad helping her out. You know, I don't know what he's going to do now, but I mean, and you know, he campaigned on cleaning this stuff up, and so he doesn't seem to be fulfilling his campaign promises
at
all.
The irony is, and talking to a friend of mine that ends up in Portland on occasion on some business stuff, right after the election, shortly thereafter, when Mayor Wilson got sworn in, he literally is like, Portland looks like a different place. It's clean. They've moved everyone out, this and that. And I'm going, but it's just the cycle because they're all back now. And the idea of just hide the problem, pat myself on the back and say, I've done what I said I would do, doesn't seem to be the way. Yet so many politicians want to run that game.
Well, and they clean it up when they have something's coming in that they feel they need to impress. They wouldn't do that for the neighbors in the Pearl or wherever. You guys don't count. You're footing the bill for all of this. But if you want to not have to navigate poop and needles and everything else, too bad. You know, and but pay your art tax and all the other taxes they're levying on people.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the game. We need the money more than you, because we just need to take care of, you know, everyone that we deem can't handle themselves. And that's the saddest part of all of this, is when our politicians have given up faith in humanity to the point where they're sitting there going, you need to give us money so that we can take care of these people because we just don't believe they even have the ability to do it themselves.
Yeah. And meanwhile, it just continues to get worse and worse and worse. And again, nobody there. Well, I'm encouraged, you know, in the Salem race, you got a number of candidates that are offering, you know, solid prescriptions, at least coming up with a plan. Not all of it may be perfect, but there's at least a thought that goes into it and experience that comes behind it. What do we got? About 2 minutes left. I want to touch on this because we're talking about fundraising. We talked earlier in the week about what it's looking like, who the top tier of the Republican side are. And they're in a million five. That's Dudley and Drazen, followed by Representative Ed Deal, who's around the 60 or 70,000. Well, let's switch over to the Democrats and Tina Kotek. She's reporting $2,008,044 on cash on hand. And the contributions rolling in to her are significantly different.
Yeah, I believe it's
bigger.
I'm kind of going, we know that Chris Dudley got a large check from Phil Knight.
Yeah.
But we also know there's not a whole lot of uber rich people remaining in the state of Oregon.
Not so, Republicans anyway.
So Tina's turning to her friends at the unions, which are handing over. So I'm kind of going, now all the more reason to opt out of a union if you're not supporting Tina Kotek.
Yes, which you are perfectly, it's legitimate for you to do that. You absolutely can do that. The biggest donors continue to drive fundraising, like you said. Yes, labor organizations, corporate PACs, and industry groups, Build a Stronger West, $250,000. Democratic Governor's Victory Fund, $250,000. Local 48 Electricians PAC, $105,000. Plumbers and Steamfitters PAC, really? Blue collar, man. Yeah. Same with the electricians, $100,000 there. Avamir Skilled Advisors, $100,000. Oregon Nurses, not surprised there, $80,000. I mean, cha-ching, big money.
Well, and I just sit here and go, and that's the big problem. And I've talked to those blue-collar union workers who have literally said they love being a part of the union. They feel, you know, they paid well, everything else, all the benefits. But they also recognize that their money, their contributions are going straight to the Democrat Party that is driving us down. And the only repercussions they have is they can vote differently, but yet they're told, you know, vote with your pocketbook, not with your, you know, that you want to actually live in this state, because we'll just keep getting you more money from the government. Come on.
Exactly. And again, these are private sector unions, and we'll not even go into the public sector ones. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news, listening for that music, and we will come back and we are going to chat with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy.
Oh, wait a second. My timing is off. We got about 10 seconds more. Anything else you want to throw in there?
No, other than we're looking forward to chatting with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. We had a conflict with the state of the city last time, so it's nice to have her back in the studio to tell us all the things that are happening in the city of Salem.
That's right. We look forward to it because Salem is a great place.
It is. All right, come on back on the other side. We'll see you on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this lovely, beautiful spring Wednesday. Welcoming to the third chair is Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. Madam Mayor, welcome. It's nice to see you.
Thank you very much. It's good to see you, too.
So are you enjoying this lovely day? It's like spring has sprung.
It's just beautiful. I did buy some chocolate on the way, and I had to bring it inside and disappoint everyone with the "it's not for you."
I know.
Sorry.
Sometimes it has to happen. But you have a story behind that.
See's Candies.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
We all love See's.
Longtime employee, 45 years. Robin Skog is retiring. And people talk about watching her walk to work every morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just, she's the woman with the beautiful smile on her face who's just made See's Candies come to life in Salem and stay alive through all the things and never giving up.
My dad would buy candy for my mom at See's. And so, you know, we've grown up with her, and they'll say, and you go in there and it's See's is just like this pristine chocolate shop, and everything is beautifully displayed. It's all very well lit, and they have their outfits, and it's all very clean and lovely. What a cool gig working in chocolate for 45 years.
No kidding, right?
Yeah.
I just had this thought when I spoke to her last. They're having a kind of a thing there on Friday for her, and I'll be out of town. I fly out tomorrow night, but I wanted to bring her a letter from the mayor, so I did, thanking her for her service and bringing sweet things to Salem all this time.
Now I'm craving chocolate. Well,
I know. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm going on a dinner and a date tonight. Dinner and a date, movie date with the mustache. So chocolate will be there. I'm getting some now.
Good for you.
I'm getting some. So talk to us. I want to talk about one thing, and we'll go ahead and move on from that. But the ethics complaint, the serial meetings, all of that, that's finally coming to a close now. Is that chapter going to be behind us?
Actually, Friday, there's a hearing the Ethics Commission, and we'll see what they say. I'm still waiting for my letter of education. And I have, I have a lawyer, and the lawyer tells me when to speak and when to not speak.
All the lawyerly things.
So bottom line is, I mean, they want me to sign a letter that says that I lied, and I didn't lie. So I still want my letter of education. I want to know what not to do ever again.
Yeah, and we've kind of dealt with that over the past couple of times we've chatted with you in that. So it sounds like it is kind of coming to a close, and you can, the city can move on from that at that point.
Yes, that's my hope. And okay. It's funny, though, how it keeps coming back up. It's like a wound that starts to heal, and then the media just, you know, makes it all come to life again. And I'm just looking forward to what happens on Friday, the 10th.
Okay. So meanwhile, you've still got the business of the city, your mayor. When was the last meeting? Anything pop up in that? I usually do watch them. Honestly, Madam Mayor, there are times when I just can't.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm sorry. The Malbec isn't going to cut it. So cannot. Because it can be difficult to watch. Fun.
And there are times when I sit with my eyes wide open at those meetings.
Now, you're still meeting in Laux because all the work is being done on City Hall.
Correct. Yeah.
So you're still meeting there. Any big issues that have popped up that you want to share with listeners?
Oh, actually, yes.
Yeah,
did you hear about the big drug bust? I mean, we're doing...
I did.
Can you believe it? Was it... I'm just glancing. It was 17 pounds of meth.
Oh,
and then they seized another... Well, it was 27 pounds total of meth seized from one dealer on his person, and then in the motel room he was staying in, combined. So I got curious, and I sent a question: how much meth does it take to get high, and how many highs does 27 pounds make?
Oh, and interesting.
The answer I received is: a typical dose is still around 0.2 grams, with purity levels they're seeing currently. One dose probably lasts between 5 to 8 hours. So if the math they did is correct, it's over 61,000 doses.
Wow.
From one person.
One person. And you know where there's one.
Oh, my golly.
There's many, many more.
I'm going to share something that I saw a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago. I was driving down Lancaster, and there was a group of people gathered around on a very busy street corner, middle of the afternoon, around one person.
Oh.
And I'm sitting here going, oh, the drug dealer has brought his supply.
Yeah.
I jokingly call that the ice cream man has pulled up, and here come the people.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was insane to watch. I mean, they were just, from across the street, they're heading across there, every which direction they're coming out of the woodworks.
Interesting. And it was on Lancaster.
On Lancaster.
Did you think about calling?
I didn't at the moment because I was, I'm kind of looking around. I'm going, there's every intersection here is packed with cars. And it's pretty blatantly obvious what's going on.
Right.
It's interesting that you ask that, though, because I wonder if there's a perception that if I call, nothing's going to happen.
Right. There is. And we have to stop that.
Yeah.
Because when people stop calling, data stops gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see something, it's important to say something. And whether you do that by phone to the non-emergency number or online, when you get to your destination, hey, just saw this thing going down. And then they can know where the activity is happening, and maybe there's a particular time of day. There was an area in Northeast Salem that I was unprofessionally surveilling in the wee hours of the morning for weeks at a time. And it was the same time every day, and I was able to tell them that, and next thing you know, they sent folks, and that kind of blew up the activity. That the comfort zone was resolved.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen there at that time anymore.
And you're right, with the data gathering, you can start building, you start seeing patterns. And then when law enforcement starts seeing patterns, they can break that up. Mm-hmm. And you're right, and I think that's a good point that you make as far as did you go ahead and make that call, because it sounds like the city makes it easy. You can do it online. I know I've called the non-emergency number just to say, I want this on record. I know you're not going to say, I don't need anybody to come out, but I want it on record. Because then I think when you start doing that and the city starts doing that, you start kind of closing the noose a little bit on the criminal
closing
element.
In.
It's like, there's no place for you to be here.
Don't be comfortable.
But that takes everybody.
Yep, it really does. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Much to do.
Yeah. And I think that's a mindset, because I know a lot of people, there's a lot of fatigue. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about Portland and the money. And, you know, you've got the city of Portland asking Multnomah and Clackamas County for money to help with their problems. And Clackamas and Washington County are saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to deal with what you've got to deal with. And we always talk about, when you're into an elected office, the people who voted, that's not the end of the relationship. Again, there's that partnership. As citizens, mm-hmm. we have responsibility to watch out for each other. And again, like you said, to start, you know, to communicate.
Absolutely. And as far as the money is concerned, our mm-hmm. number one responsibility is managing the people's money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To make sure that they get the services that they need to have a livable existence in Salem. And that's, yeah. Did you know, speaking of the calling in, the call uh-huh. center, uh-huh. did you know that the Willamette Valley Call Center, which is in downtown Salem, mm-hmm. covers an area slightly larger, or larger than Rhode Island, slightly smaller than Delaware? It's 31 jurisdictions, 32 jurisdictions, I believe now, from East Marion County all the way to Tillamook and Lincoln City, every jurisdiction.
That tells you how small the states are in the Eastern Seaboard, especially if you're an East Coast kid who moved out here.
Right?
Like, wow, it's big out here.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Well,
you know, I actually toured it a number of years ago.
Okay.
And it was an amazing place.
Yeah.
And I don't know if tours are still available, but it gives you an eye as far as what the dispatchers and everybody has to deal with. And then now the geography that they have to cover.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, the first sit along I did in that mm-hmm. space, there was a call for a person in the water off of Tillamook. And so in Salem, you're calling for help for the person in Tillamook in the water. It's pretty incredible. And that building, they need to move. They need to get into a space that is seismically sound.
Rant. Yeah.
That has room for overnight stay should we have a horrible event, and one that's just frankly more secure. And I mean, I've delivered pizza there. It's an easy access kind of place, really.
Yep,
I mean, you can't just get it, walk in, but they need to move. So when I was in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago, I spent mm-hmm. time with our federal lobbyists speaking to Senator Wyden, Merkley, and Salinas about mm-hmm. that facility and how we need federal funding to help them shore up the operation.
Well, when you're talking the seismic aspect of it, I mm-hmm. mean, what is going to be the most... single event that's going to generate millions of calls through that phone. And if the building goes down, 911 is done.
So here was the funny part, to see the surprise on the faces of the folks that it does. No, this isn't just about Salem. This is about 32 jurisdictions between East Marion County and the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are in jeopardy if we don't take care of this. So it needs support. And needs our help. It felt really good, frankly, to talk about something that is super tangible and made sense mm-hmm. to do the ask. And the response I got was, wow, well, this is critical. We can get behind this, you know, and
that felt good. I did see something. I saw you had a social media post with Andrea Salinas. Mm-hmm. What was that about?
That was about...
Were you holding a big giant check?
Or yes, was that not my check.
Okay.
was not my check.
We always love the big giant checks.
Yeah, no, that was a check for... there are two housing authority spaces, buildings, mm-hmm. with folks, seniors living in them. When the power went out in the ice storm, those folks didn't have elevators, they didn't have heat, they didn't have refrigeration. Even the panels that the fire department uses when they show up in a space that has multiple units, there's a lighting system, like who needs help, the call button. And wasn't working, so they would have to go to every door to find out who's having a problem. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was a serious issue that we hadn't realized existed until there was a big problem. And mm-hmm. so that funding is primarily for backup power units in those places, so they won't have a problem anymore.
Okay.
Should something bad happen, it was again something you can get behind and justify the funding for.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. Madam Mayor, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back, and maybe we'll switch gear because we are coming up on the primary, and people are out and about and may have questions and all that kind of stuff, that good stuff. So again, we're talking with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Cozy's New York Deli.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We are wrapping up our conversation today with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. So we're going to shift gears over into campaign land. You are running for re-election. The primary will be here before we know it, like a month.
Yep, the 19th of May. It's over.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you've been out and about. There have been forums. I know we've talked on the show. There was a local news outlet did a forum. You made the decision not to participate in that, but you participated in other forums and interviews and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. What has been your impressions on that, and where can folks go to see printed words or you know, podcast, radio shows like this?
Yeah,
because you're out there, you're talking to people, and you're also doing the job.
Absolutely. Well, my website's always a good place to go. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can always reach out and ask me a question if you have it. I'm pretty easy to reach. And as far as not attending certain events, there mm-hmm. are just certain environments that, frankly, I don't feel the need to subject myself to. And I'm busy showing mm-hmm. up in the community and showing up for the people and doing the work. And for, you know, certain events, it's just not a good use of my time to be in those environments. I'd rather show up for the people directly. And yeah, that's just kind of my way.
And you enjoy campaigning because you're out there like with the See's Candy and getting out there and being being out with the people and kind of meeting everybody. And campaigning, I don't know, I think you either love it or you hate it. I think you have to kind of love it to do it because it's most of what you spend your time is talking to people.
Yeah, I do. I love people. Yeah. And I love getting to know people. Mm-hmm. I am not a fan of knocking on doors. I am not. It is not.
See, I never liked the cold calls.
I could probably call people on the phone easier than knocking on doors. Maybe really? Because when I'm home, I'm not a fan of somebody unexpected coming to my door.
Yeah.
My husband eats that stuff up. Man, he just can't get enough. Like, he's like a kid on Halloween, door to door to door to door, as much contact as he can make. He stood in this guy's garage one time. This man and another guy were sitting in lawn chairs in the garage. Door was open, big door. Raj walks in and stands there. And he told me this story. And he stands there. And finally, after a couple minutes, the one guy leans over and says, "Can I help you?"
And after a couple of minutes?
and Dodd goes, "Oh, well, my wife's running for mayor. My wife's running for mayor. Sir, we're trying to have a private conversation here." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Oh, sorry." And he turned around and left and went to the next door. I would have had to, first of all, I wouldn't have done it. If that had happened to me, I would have gone home curled up in a ball for at least a couple of hours because I can't take it. You know, I'm not a super fan. But you get out and do it because this is important work. And as, you know, uncomfortable as it can be, like the person whose address wasn't on my list, who was in the front yard building a fence and maybe he doesn't like his neighbors, I don't know, but I'm a half a block away and he yells, "Aren't you the one in trouble for corruption?" And I turned around, I'm like, "Are you talking to me?" You know,
and, in your best De Niro,
you're talking to me? And as I walked across the street, the three young adults that were with him scattered. And I said, did you have a question for me? And he said, "No." And I said, "Okay, well, no corruption here. And have a nice day." And I walk on. Still, it's like, golly, if I didn't have to door knock, I'd be okay with that. I think people have figured out the whole no soliciting thing, too.
Like yes, the sign.
A lot of those signs.
Put a lot of signs.
Yeah.
Well, on the other side of being mayor, being city council, when you're, you know, Salem is still, I mean, it's what are we up to now? 168,000, 170? It always goes between Eugene and Salem and, you know.
We're 182 right now,
182.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, still you're going to run into constituents in different places, sure. And people are going to have questions. And I know a lot of times with different votes and things like that, you cannot please all the people all the time. But you are there. You're there as a representative for the city, and I obviously you take that role very seriously.
Well, yes, I do. And people are highly, some people are highly influenced by the news that they watch or the things that they read. Mm-hmm. You know, some people maybe get their greatest news from Facebook. And it's not there. And you have to be very discerning and be careful what you, becomes your narrative, you know. And I think that's why I hold the media to such a high standard, because it's a great responsibility what you choose to communicate.
It is. It is. I learned early on, way back in the day, that when, you know, whoever is interviewing you or interview, they're not your audience. Mm-hmm. It's the person on the other side of them who's going to read what that person puts out or that outlet puts out. Mm-hmm. And far too many people want to make friends with the interviewer. It's like, no, they're a conduit for you to reach the constituents.
Mm, yeah, that's a good point. Never thought of that. I'm going to use that in my 3:30 with the League of Women Voters.
there's another, and they do that every year. I learned that very early on, because it's human nature to want to, but I had to learn that, and it's a good lesson.
That's a cool
point. So the League
of
Women Voters, that's usually on CCTV. That's another great resource for folks to go to learn more about you. Like you said, your website, you've been doing some podcasts too?
Yeah, well, I did the What's Happening show with Jacob Espinosa on his I'm not sure if he's on Facebook and Instagram both. I'm pretty sure he is.
He's kind of everywhere. I see him everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did that one. I did the Salem Chamber debate is still up and it's available. People can look at that to see how I feel and what I'm about. And then just this last Saturday, I did what they call the Dam podcast, which is the Detroit Dam folks have created a... Actually, Pam Weaver, my hairdresser, and Bill McCall are the hosts. And they decided to come to Geppetto's last Saturday and interview me. And we just had a great time. I'm not sure if it's aired yet. It'll be popping up soon, though, at least on their Facebook page. So,
well, first of all, I love the name, because I mean, it's just it's cheeky, it's clever. Good for them.
They have a good time. What did they ask me? Which superhero, if you could be a superhero, who would you be?
Okay, what was your answer?
My first answer was Wonder Woman.
Oh,
and then I said, but I can't wear the outfit. And I just won't wear the outfit. And then I said, you know, maybe it's more like Mighty Mouse.
Oh.
You know,
here I come to save the day.
See, I'm thinking with Wonder Woman, is it the invisible plane, the lasso of truth, or those wicked cool bracelets she wears? Because it's like the slings, the arrows, because you really kind of, you got to take some slings and arrows when you are in public life.
Right?
It just comes with the territory.
It's the boots and the tights I just couldn't pull
off. Right?
So,
nobody could. Linda Carter is the only human being on Earth.
5 mile legs. I mean.
I know.
I would look like a toddler in a Halloween costume.
Well, we've got less than a minute with you, Madam Mayor. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we break?
No, I'm just grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to be here with you guys and to continue to seek re-election and be able to serve Salem and continue to come into a better place. We've come a long way in a little over a year, and I can't imagine the endless possibilities for what is good.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always work to be done. And again, it is a relationship. You need to hear from the people as much as they need to hear from you, as do the other city councilors.
Yeah.
And so again, the May 19th, it's going to be here.
Ballots will be in the mail soon. Those pamphlets too. So
Election Day is literally 41 days away from now.
Doing the math.
It's coming in quick.
All right. Madam Mayor, Salem Mayor Julie Noy, thank you so much. Everybody, that's it for us today. We will see you tomorrow. Enjoy the day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.